It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you are treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And we were made for this time. We are certainly in interesting times, as the old Chinese proverb has said. But we are made for this time. And it is our time to protect America. The American idea is certainly on the ropes at this particular point in time. And that lead-in that we have for the show, we actually recorded that well before COVID-19. And so we can see that they've been playing, that when I say they, that is the radical activists that want to control other people's lives. They've been playing long ball. They had something in the works regarding this whole vaccine mandates long before this has actually happened. And we saw that with legislation that was being proposed here in Colorado. And so we now see the veil is coming off. People are waking up, and we have a lot of work to do. I have this great team that I get to work with, and that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And Steve, it is astounding. Every 24 hours, there are new things that we need to bring forth for people to know as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, searching for truth and clarity.
Yeah, no doubt. And I thought it was funny because you used the word, the four-letter word they, and it's almost amusing. You know, if you didn't, you know, you got to laugh or you cry type of thing. We have a soundbite if we go to it here a little bit later. Kamala Harris was stumping for Newsom in California yesterday, and her word of the word, her usage of the word they, it got me. I heard it twice before I went out and said, I got to have that so we can play it. It just got me upset.
Well, the they, when we talk about they, we were talking about the radical activist leftist elites. And you know what? I shouldn't say leftist. I actually should call them the establishment. That when they refer to they are referring to everyday hardworking Americans. When we refer to they, we refer to those that want to have that are advocating to have control over our lives. There's a big difference in that they.
Exactly, and well, and when we talk about establishment, it comes under both parties, unfortunately.
It really does. And but let's continue on. We've got a jam-packed show planned for you again today. But check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. The recaps and the podcasts of the shows are there. You just click on the picture, and that'll bring up the recap with a podcast embedded in that. Sign up for our weekly newsletters. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And I really appreciate all of you who support us as well. Thank you. We are an independent voice and really do appreciate that. Our America's Veterans Stories will air this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11 p.m. And another thing I'm just so excited about, because the U.S. Constitution has been under attack for many, many years. And up in Grand Lake, Colorado, they have the premier U.S. Constitution Week in all of America. And it starts next Monday, the 13th. It runs through the 19th. They will have a church service in the park on Sunday morning. The main event is on Saturday, and I have the great honor to emcee that particular event. But join us. The Aspen will be changing. Grand Lake is just such a great a slice of Americana. It's one of my favorite places in the whole world. And be sure and join us. So go to Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for more information on that. And then this show comes to you because I have really, really great sponsors. And one of them is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And the girls were over last night, so I ran over and for to dine in or to go on Wednesdays. They've got a great wing special. And so I ran over and picked those up yesterday. But they also have $10 burger special all day, every day there, and would highly recommend you check that out. And then they're starting their football specials today. So I guess you haven't been paying a lot of attention, Steve, but I think NFL football starts today, yes?
Did you have to bring that up? I'm sorry. I'm down on them because they've already let it be known they're going to let individual players put social commentary on their uniforms, on their helmets and stuff. And it's like, here we go again. It's going to be another one of those years.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, let's support those that support the United States of America. And I do think that one of the things that's going to really push back, did you see all those videos of all those kids at the college football games this last weekend? Not masked, not social distancing, and living their lives. And I think that, it may be college football that actually pushes back on all of this craziness that's going on right now, Steve.
Well, that point was well made on Tuesday. The guys who are now on for Rush Limbaugh saying what they had observed on this first big weekend of college football, all this video of all this going on in all these stadiums around the country, those who really want to control us and drive us, you know, into hiding over this virus, it's like, what an incredible declaration of independence.
It really was. So it may be college football that's really going to have people step up and say, we're not going to adhere to, you know, all of these crazy totalitarian rules that are going on out there. So let's jump over here, Steve, to our quote for today. I had seen this quote and hadn't found it for a while. And it's an Abraham Lincoln quote. And you know him. He was an American attorney. He was a lawyer, a politician. He was our 16th president. And he was born in 1809. He died in 1865. And he said this. He said, I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed.
Can you say big pharma?
Yeah. Can you say big media?
Yeah.
Big tech?
Yes.
You say any of that?
All of the above.
All of that right there. I thought that was just astounding as I read that. You know, and realize he was not a college-educated guy. He was self-educated. And he learned all this because he read. And, you know, we talk about how important reading is, but also reading good stuff. There is so much junk that people can read. You need to be very discerning in what you watch and what you read. And you only have 24 hours in a day. And how you spend that is your choice. At least at this point in America, that's our choice. So let's jump over here. Well, first of all, Steve, I think I just want to mention this, and that is the first headline that Patty has pulled here, and this is from the childrenshealthdefense.org. They have filed a lawsuit, and they filed this on August 31st in U.S. District Court, Eastern District of Tennessee, against the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and its acting director, Dr. Janet Woodcock, for their allegedly deceptive rust licensure of Pfizer's Comirnaty vaccine. CHD argues that the licensure was a classic bait and switch, allowing Pfizer, the Biden administration, the U.S. military, and employers to exhort people to take licensed vaccines when, in fact, the vaccines available are being administered and continue to be the Pfizer BioNTech emergency use authorization vaccine. And says, according to the lawsuit, the FDA violated federal law when it simultaneously licensed Pfizer's Comirnaty vaccine and extended Pfizer's EUA for the vaccine that has the same formulation and that can be used interchangeably. Then in that case, they should both be FDA approved, correct? But this is a classic bait and switch. I think it's important that you all know that out there. And for those of you who have gotten the vaccination, have chosen to do that, I totally support your decision on that. On the other hand, those of you who do not want to get the vaccination, you can see that help is on the way. So I think that's very positive, Steve.
Well, it goes right back to your Lincoln quote in terms of big corporations acting on their own behalf, and they're willing to do anything, you know, that adds to their bottom line.
Right. And again, I think this is great news. And also, I have referenced this, and people do reach out. I want to make sure that you have this in your tool chest, and that is Senate Bill 21-142. And the name of that is Healthcare Access in Cases of Rape or Incest. And it was sponsored by Democrat senators and representatives. And it was signed by Governor Polis on May 21st of 2021. And this is what it says when you are deciding whether or not you want to take the vaccine. It says in there, this is Colorado law, every person has a right to privacy with respect to personal health decisions, free from coercion or interference from the government. Again, Senate Bill 21-142 from this last legislative session. Steve, you pull this Kamala Harris soundbite. I'd like to comment on that just a little bit with you. So would you play that now, please?
This is the kind of leader we have had in Gavin Newsom. And you have to understand that this recall campaign is about California, and it's about a whole lot more. They're thinking that if they can get this done in California, they can go around the country and do this. What's happening in Texas? What's happening in Georgia? What's happening around our country with these policies that are about attacking women's rights, reproductive rights, voting rights, workers' rights? They think if they can win in California, they can do this anywhere. Well, we will show them you're not going to get this done, not here, never.
Wow. That is the most fervent I've ever heard her speak, I think. And the they that she's talking about is the American people. And when she says if they think they can get it done in California, then they think they can get it done anywhere.
Yeah, and I'd say, listen, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you do.
I know. I'm super concerned about election integrity there. There are so many different ways to affect the election. First of all, there's been all of these illegals that have come into America and into California, and you know good and well that they're going to be really trying to access those votes there. Of course, we have all the other election integrity questions, but the great thing about it, Steve, is the light has been shown on what is going on there. And she's right. If we can get it done in California, we can get it done across the United States. When she says when we could get it done in California, that means that we can save our country. And you can tell by her voice that they are very, very concerned that they, which is we the people, may get it done. It's very exciting, Steve.
Well, I say, I call it pushback. And yes, Kamala, that is exactly what is on our minds, because you guys have been eroding the working middle class now for how many years? Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
That's absolutely for sure what we're thinking. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Heather Booth and another great everyday person stepping up to run for school board. These school board elections are so important. She's running for school board in Elizabeth, Colorado. And then we'll talk to Karen Levine at the bottom of the hour. And then Professor John Eastman, he was Trump's attorney. He's a constitutional expert. We're going to be talking about this opt-out for the Colorado GOP, and that vote will be on the 18th of September regarding this open primary. Fascinating discussion, I'm sure. So you won't want to miss that as well. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. And as we're coming into Saturday, which is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and we think about what happened with our country there and what's happened over the last 20 years, we certainly want to stop and acknowledge and pray for our country and acknowledge those that were lost on that day. And love the fact that Crawford Broadcasting is making sure that we remember them. And then also the 13 of our military that died in Afghanistan just recently. And all those that have sacrificed their lives so that you and I get to live in freedom. We should not take that lightly. And there's other ways to serve. And one of those ways is to step forward and run for public office. And Heather Booth is on the line with me right now. She's stepping forward to run for school board in Elizabeth, Colorado. And stepping forward to run for school board is one of the most patriotic things that a person could do these days. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim, for having me.
Why are you stepping forward to run for school board in Elizabeth?
Well, I've done a lot of different volunteer work in the community and at my children's schools. And I think, you know, it's just kind of a calling that I think that I need to step up and do more for our country, and what better way to start is in my own community. And so I decided to run for school board. I still have one young child in elementary school, has so many years left in the education system, and I want to make a difference.
Now, I've heard through the grapevine that Elizabeth has been a pretty freedom place for kids to go to school. Is that the case? And tell us, you know, what you see about that going forward.
Absolutely. Very, very conservative town. And a few of the things that our current school board has already done, which is awesome, that I love, is last year we were in school full time in person. And this year we're not only in person full-time, but nobody has to wear any mask, which I just love. You know, it's optional. If you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. If you don't, you don't. And so I just love that we've set it up that way and let the parents choose on how they want their child to get an education.
So have you had COVID outbreaks there in Elizabeth because of this?
No, actually, I believe I was kind of keeping up with it, especially last year. We just started school this year. We've only been in for like 2 weeks. But through their tracing and stuff, they've not been able to trace many COVID outbreaks to the school. I don't know of any offhand keeping up with it. There might be a couple, but very few outbreaks within our school system can be, you know, it can't be traced back to that.
A couple of things I would like to make a point on. First of all, when this whole thing started, we didn't quite know what it was. We shut everything down 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We're now 18 months in, and we are seeing different school districts that are requiring masks, which, you just think about it, it just doesn't make sense that these little ones, our children, are breathing back in all this carbon dioxide and all these things that actually naturally they're supposed to be expelling so that they are healthy. And then we've moved away from the 2 weeks to flatten the curve to cases. And many times the cases they're counting, I know people have gotten COVID-19 and the Wuhan China virus and have gotten sick, but the recovery rate is significant. And then there's also people that may have the virus that don't even know it unless they get tested, and they call that a case. And so this is it's kind of a house of cards that they have used to try to, I think, really control people. And so a school district like Elizabeth, you certainly want to protect what is happening there. So it sounds to me like you're happy with what the school board generally has done, Heather, but is somebody term limited or why have you decided to step up?
Right. So yes, I'm very happy with what they've been able to accomplish. Yes. So we have one term limited spot. One term limited spot. And then we have somebody who's up for a second term. And then we have an opening for somebody who's stepping down after one term. So there's actually three openings. One is somebody who's rerunning for a second term. And then, so basically two openings, and there's just, it makes you a little bit nervous that somebody else could step in and maybe change what already good things are in place. So that's another reason I want to step up and make sure we continue the great work that the school board has already done.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about CRT. I was on a call yesterday with a group from back in Washington, D.C., and they were talking about CRC, which is critical race theory. It has a lot of different names. Once people figure out that, oh, that's critical race theory, they just change the name. But in teacher mm-hmm. development, they have been, and actually Sandra Bankes, who's who's running for a school board in District 11, was on yesterday. And she talked, and she's I think a former teacher as well as a former principal. And she was talking about a teacher development exercise she went through where basically it was just a different name, but trying to divide people because of their ethnicity. And are you seeing any of that? Because your teachers there in Elizabeth also have to do this teacher development. So what are you seeing on that, Heather?
Well, we're very against the school board, the superintendent, and so forth is very against critical race theory. So I don't know. I haven't heard anything about the training that we may or may not have to do within the school board. But as far as I know, that they have not had to do any of that. It's my understanding that they don't, and which is great. And that's why another reason I am running is to make sure that this doesn't happen. And I just think it's ridiculous that this is what we're teaching our teachers, our students, to hate themselves or hate others just solely based off of skin color or ethnicity.
Well, and just to teach kids to hate, because I think that you teach kids to hate. I don't think that kids do that on their own. I think that they, absolutely, this racism and all, I really think that is taught to kids. And Heather, one of the things I've been watching is this, that there's a ballot initiative called LEAP. It's a new marijuana tax, quote unquote, for the children's, for after school programs, and really against it, just because, first of all, it's against representative government. It puts in place this new tax, and the governing board is unelected. They're unaccountable to the voters, to the legislature, or to the Department of Education. But they say kids have fallen behind because of COVID, and our kid, you look at the statistics, and our kids are falling behind. But I contend it's because we're using the school day, and I'm talking about across the state in general terms, instead of using that to teach kids to read and write, do arithmetic, history, science, all those kinds of things, we're doing other things with the school day. So I think it's really important that we make sure we're teaching the basics during the school day. What's your final thought on all this, Heather?
I totally agree. And I don't know that I trust that tax anyways, because they're always changing around we all remember the marijuana tax in Colorado, and it's very limited on what it can be used for schools. You know, we haven't seen any of that money in Elbert County. And it mostly has to do with new school builds. Well, what about the old schools? You know, they need help. It's only new schools. That's ridiculous. I don't trust that part of it, that money would truly even go to where it needs to go anyways. And based off their actions from prior taxes. But I agree with you. I think kids are really struggling in it. Why aren't we learning our lessons and making sure they're in school full time? And how are kids being able to learn with masks on is ridiculous. You have little kids, preschool, kindergarten, first grade. It's very difficult to be able to concentrate with a mask on. So why aren't we learning our lessons and moving forward and helping them the best way we can? And we already have stuff in place to help them. We're trying to just push different agendas that I think are ridiculous.
Wow. And okay, Heather, how can people, I agree with you, because little ones how can you learn? People learn so much by just watching facial expressions. And I'm really astounded when I've met somebody, they have their mask on and they take their mask off. They look totally different. And the ability to smile, to see those facial expressions are so, so important. So, Heather, how can people get more information about your campaign and if they want to help you?
Well, I can be reached at my email address is hpbooth, B-O-O-T-H, at me.com. That's me.com. And reach out to me. I would love, help in just getting the word out. We're running as a slate. So I'm actually running as a team of three with the current school board member who's rerunning, Carrie and Craig Blackham, Carrie Cartridge. The three of us are running as a team. And they can email me that. Email me at that address and reach out and let me know if they want to help us campaign.
Okay. And have you set up a website?
We have not set up a website yet. It's such a small town out here. Everyone keeps asking me. It's such a small town and we just haven't set it up because we kind of do more feet on the ground type thing out here.
The old kind of website, and that is person to person, huh?
That's right. That's right. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Heather Booth, thank you so much for joining us today. I greatly appreciate it. And if you want to help Heather and that slate, you can email her at hpbooth@me.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Professor John Eastman about this potential for the GOP to get out of this open primary here in Colorado. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
God bless America, land that I love.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Professor John Eastman. He is a constitutional expert, and we're going to be talking about this opt out of the open primary in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I want to just acknowledge U.S. Constitution Week up in Grand Lake, which will be September 13th through the 19th. They have events planned each day. And Professor Eastman, you and your wife, Professor Elizabeth Eastman, will be there presenting. And very excited about that, John.
Well, we've had to shift gears a little bit. I'm giving the opening lecture on Monday, and unfortunately, my wife developed a very bad pulmonary problem, and she's going to not be able to speak this year. But they're praying hard for her to get back in shape because they've already wanted her to show up next year.
Well, okay, and our prayers as well. So you will be opening the whole week up, which is very exciting. And you were the keynote speaker last year, and it's a tremendous event, John.
It is, and I think it's the longest running, and it's a week-long program of people reconnecting with the Constitution and learning to appreciate the symmetrical beauty of it, the wisdom and forethought that our founders put into it, and the underlying principles that it is designed to protect, which, of course, are set out in the Declaration of Independence. And I wish every community in the country did something like this.
Well, and it's all volunteer. It's just remarkable the amount of work that they put into this. And Grand Lake is, it's a really a little taste of Americana. On, I have the great honor to MC the closing event, or the mainline event on Saturday, and they have a parade. It's just a great event. So for more information, go to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com, and highly recommend that you join us, and certainly to hear Professor Eastman kick that all off is going to be very exciting. The subject, John, that we want to talk about today is the potential opt-out of the Colorado open primary. And if people don't understand what happened in 2016, Proposition 108, called the Colorado Unaffiliated Elector, was approved by voters 53.27% to 46.73%. As I was doing research on this, John, I was astounded to find that over $5.3 million was spent to get this passed, and the opposition only had about $70,000. And I thought that was pretty astounding as I looked at that. And the question I have is, why was there so much money coming in to get Colorado to open up their primary? What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, we faced the same thing when I lived in California, and Governor Schwarzenegger and his lieutenant governor, Abel Maldonado, realized they would never get renominated in a Republican primary because they were taking stands that, you know, were supported by establishment Republicans as well as Democrats. But the rank and file Republican Party didn't go for it. And so they pushed through an open primary law in California as well. It's designed make it difficult for principled Republicans to win the primaries, because you get all these non-Republican voters, you get crossover voters, you get the weak-kneed Republican establishment voters now controlling the party primary. And, you know, quite frankly, that means that you're not given a real choice in the general election between the principled opposition that the rank-and-file Republicans demand. But the corporate Republicans, the established Republicans, would just assume that we don't take any principled stance. And this is why it was designed. A lot of that money came from out of state, as I understand it. But also, I suspect if you dig into it, behind it, the establishment interests within the party itself.
Well, when we look at what has happened to Colorado and go back to the blueprint in the early 2000s, things really started to change. There was this concerted effort to elect Democrats, to get rid of principal Republicans. And we now see the effects of what is going on. Colorado is in very difficult shape now because we have not been taking principal stands on important issues, John.
Well, you know, an old professor of mine used to say the problem with pragmatism is it doesn't work. You know, the problem with trying to be moderate on these things and throw off your principles is it just doesn't work. And I think that's what you're seeing in Colorado right now, and why it's so important to get rid of this open primary.
And my understanding is the way that legislation, or not legislation, the way that proposition was written is that even if the Colorado Republican Party, and this would be the Central Committee, votes, and it's a very high threshold, 75% have to approve that. That is such a high threshold. Let's see, now I forgot what my other thought was on that. So 75% have to opt out. Oh, I know. And that even if they do that, it has to be voted on every year, correct?
Well, yeah, but look, there are several things going on here. And, you know, it's not just a high threshold, 75%. It's an impossible threshold. It's 75% of the total membership. At the convention, rarely do they even get 75% of the total membership there, which means, you know, even without a single vote opposing the opt-out, it would fail. Now, the second part of that is, and I share the concerns with a lot of the people that are opposing the opt-out vote right now, that under the Proposition 108 implementing statute, if you do get that high threshold of 75%, then you're left with an unenviable choice. You have to have your nominations occur at an assembly or convention. You don't get to participate in a primary at all. And, of course, that's a Hobson's choice. And I think people are rightly concerned that if we opt out of this open primary, we're left not being able to appeal to the voters at all in the primary election season, to the great detriment of the Republican Party. It's both of those aspects of the open primary law that I think are unconstitutional. And I, you know, what we're going to be asking folks at the convention to do is authorize us to challenge the constitutionality of Proposition 108. Not just the 75% threshold, but this Hobson's choice of the alternative. And if we're successful in that, then what would happen would be we get restored to where things were before the open primary law got put on the books, and that would be a Republicans-only primary.
How would that work then?
Well, it would work with the Secretary of State giving, you know, and registered any registered Republican a Republican primary ballot, just the way it always occurred prior to 2016.
But there are those that say that if that occurred, then that disenfranchises this big, broad swath of unaffiliated voters. What's your comment on that?
Well, it doesn't disenfranchise them at all. It invites them to join the Republican Party. And I would, in fact, urge the Republican Party to take advantage of this and say, you know, we're going to mail to every single unaffiliated voter in the state. We're going to articulate to them our Republican Party primary principles and our great slate of candidates and invite them to join us as Republicans. They can register up to the day of the election as a Republican and participate in our primary. This may well open up the biggest registration drive in Republican Party history in Colorado.
How would that work? Because isn't it a mail-in ballot? So how could they register up to the day of the primary election? Would they go to a polling site, or what would that look like?
Well, they go to a polling site, you know, and as I understand it, Colorado lets you register up until the time you vote. So for example, if you submit an application for a mail-in ballot and you say, and I'm registering as a Republican, then you would get the Republican Party ballot. And I think all of this in a very well orchestrated mailing campaign to all the unaffiliated voters could explain the steps they need to take, and very simple steps, to register as a Republican in order to vote in the Republican primary. And you know, let's face it, with everything going on nationally and the Democrat control of Congress and of the White House really tanking popularity the more aggressively leftist they go, I think this is just going to be a boon for Republicans across the country. And Colorado's Republican Party ought to take advantage of that by inviting people to join them.
That does seem like that could be an opportunity for that, for sure. And also this articulating our Republican principles, and those principles are really the principles of America, and that go back, and I want to reclaim this, the vision of the Declaration, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I mean, that's what I look at as a Republican platform. Your thoughts, John?
I agree. And, you know, it's a platform based on freedom and based on appreciating the brilliance and the historic significance of the American founding. So, you know, you see people upset because in our schools, our kids are being taught that the United States is the most evil regime in history. That is 180 degrees opposite the truth. You see movements of putting, you know, naked men in the girls' showers, 100% contrary to basic principles of nature and decency. You see evidence of election fraud that is pervasive. All of these things, and then mandates that, you know, that masks and vaccine passports. I mean, we're starting to act like we're communist China, and I think the Republican Party, the party of freedom, is well poised to really take advantage of the angst that the Americans are feeling with the way their government is controlling every decision they make in their lives, and articulate the alternative notion of freedom that has been the historical significance of our entire history.
Well, it is very remarkable what has occurred. I think that people innately, they like freedom. They also, I don't think they like arguing. These terms of that have been used, collaborating across the aisle. When I first got on city council, I thought, oh my gosh, that's great for us to work together. But if one group is working towards freedom and the other freedom is working towards Marxism, that's difficult to come together. But I think the big broad swath of Americans don't really want to work towards Marxism, because Marxism, those that are advocating for that, are hiding behind language that people want to hear. Yes,
well,
Joe?
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's right. But look, as the left and the Marxist left get more aggressive, they're not hiding their goals, and they're not hiding their agenda anymore, and people are waking up to what's been going on, and that's created this huge backlash, and again, a huge opportunity, and I'll go back to where I began. People concerned about the opt-out vote think that the only alternative is to have a little closed circle of assembly or convention nomination process. That's the alternative that exists under the law, but that's what we believe to be unconstitutional. And why? What at the convention on September 18th, we are going to be asking the convention to vote by a majority to say, go on record as saying a majority of this private association, the Republican Party, supports a Republicans-only primary, letting ourselves choose who our nominees are going to be. And we authorize a constitutional legal challenge to that unconstitutional open primary law. Look, I mean, I'm intimately involved with the constitutional issues here. I was involved 25 years ago in the case out of California, the California Democratic Party versus Jones case, where the Supreme Court struck down their open primary law because it said you can't force a private association like a political party to have other people decide who its nominees are going to be.
You think? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, John, let's go to break. I'm talking with Professor John Eastman regarding this Colorado open primary, closing the Republican open primary, but actually this constitutional challenge, which is extremely intriguing. Before we go to break, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great sponsor of the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out their website. That's castlegate.com. And whether or not you are a collector or you are a chef or a sportsman, having that right, that correct knife in your tool chest really makes the job go easier. And a great place for gifts as well. So go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Professor John Eastman.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
From the mountains to the
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. And want to, again, make your reservations. Get up to U.S. Constitution Week in Grand Lake. Grand Lake is one of my most favorite places in the whole country. And this Constitution Week is a special event. Professor John Eastman, who's on the line with me, will be opening the event. What are you going to be talking about, John?
I'm going to be talking about tectonic shifts at the Supreme Court and the impact of the Trump judicial appointees.
Ooh, that sounds pretty fascinating. I would recommend that people get up to Grand Lake and hear that. And you can get more information at GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. And let's see, you'll be presenting on the 13th. Is that right, John?
Yes, the 13th, midday, I think 11:30 or noon on the 13th.
Okay, very, very good. We're talking about this closing the Colorado primary, and I've got some questions that have been submitted to me. I think you've actually addressed some of them, but I also wanted to acknowledge that tonight at the Independence Institute, from 7 to 8:30, there will be an open discussion on this primary opt-out vote. There will be panelists on both sides of the issue. I will be facilitating that. I will be the moderator. And to get more information, go to the Colorado Hispanic Republicans and click on their events tab, and that will bring up the Eventbrite where you can register. You must register for that. And that will be, again, tonight, 7 to 8:30 p.m., so be sure and check that out. Professor Eastman, I've received a number of questions from a friend of mine who is very concerned about disenfranchising the unaffiliated voters as well as the Republicans that don't go to caucus. And I think you've addressed that this mailing out to the unaffiliated voters, the Republican platform, and inviting them to join the Republican Party, I think seems to answer that question. Am I getting my brain around that correctly?
Yeah, you're right. And on the other piece, you know, the opt-out, the open primary law limits the party, if they opt out, to only a convention or an assembly, a caucus system. But I believe that's to be unconstitutional as well. Look, I think a majority of the party wants to have a Republicans-only primary. And broaden the base by inviting people to join the Republican Party, but have a full election at that primary, not a backroom caucus. Although caucuses have their usefulness, but I think the sense I get is where a majority of the party is right now is they want to have a primary, they don't want it diluted, they don't want their vote, their association diluted. But with people making the deciding vote of folks who refuse to even join the party, that kind of gives lie to the notion that we have a freedom of political association. And so let's have our political association. Let's that association and only that association's members determine who its nominee is going to be and fight on principles against the Democrats that appear to have none.
Okay, so let's talk about then this opt-out. That is a very heavy lift because you said they have to get 75% of the Central Committee membership. Can there be proxy votes on this or not?
I don't believe so. I think it's only people that are in attendance, and which means the last time there was an opt-out vote, there weren't even 75% of the total membership in attendance at the convention. So even a vote on it was out of order, because even if 100% of the people in attendance voted, you wouldn't get that 75% threshold, which is one of the key reasons why I think that open primary law is unconstitutional. I think what we need to do here is for the party to authorize a constitutional challenge to that law and also go on record as saying a majority of this private association, this Republican Party, votes to adopt a Republicans-only primary. That's our preference. And then we can urge that in the court as the remedy for the unconstitutional infringement on our associational rights that the open primary law imposed.
And you had a court case, what you said, 20, 25 years ago on this particular issue, and you were successful, correct?
Yeah, we were successful. I was involved on behalf of the Claremont Institute as an amicus curiae at the Supreme Court, supporting. It was the California Democrat Party, the California Republican Party, and the Libertarian Party. All three challenged California's open primary law, and prevailed. The Supreme Court held it was unconstitutional. Now there was language in that case that suggested that if you're given an option to opt out of it, then maybe that would cure the constitutional problem. But the 75% threshold is not an option. It is not going to allow you to opt out. And the fact that you can't opt out into a Republicans-only primary but only can go to a caucus system is the only alternative is not, like I said earlier, it's a Hobson's choice. You know, either you let unaffiliated voters determine who your nominee is, or you don't let a lot of your rank and file Republicans who are not members of the party central committee, not have a say. So that's not a viable choice, and I think that whole scheme is unconstitutional as a result.
It seems that this was written to try to address some of those things that you won on that court case, but to put something in that is unattainable, basically, that does seem unconstitutional to me, and I'm not a constitutional attorney, obviously. So the real play here is to get 51% of those in attendance at the Central Committee to vote for this constitutional challenge. Now, that seems to me that makes a lot of sense.
It does, because it restores your ability to choose your own direction. If you want to have a caucus system, you could do it. If you want to have a Republicans-only primary, you could do it. Those are the things that we would be seeking in the litigation. But most important is to say the 75% threshold and the Hobson's choice of either, you know, unaffiliated voters determining your nominee, or none of your Republican voters get to participate in the process other than through the caucus system, that those are unconstitutional alternatives. And we think the critical first step to restoring the Republican Party to viability in the state is getting rid of this unconstitutional open primary law.
And let's just think about this from a strategic standpoint. In a way, if somebody wanted to knock out a principled Republican, somebody that has the guts to stand up for the U.S. Constitution and stand up for this vision of the Declaration of Independence, if they wanted to get rid of that particular candidate, what better way than to have an open primary where you would have all unaffiliateds able to play in that primary and actually have Democrats that could re-register as unaffiliated, and they would also get that Republican ballot and they could play in that as well, bring in a bunch of money to influence all this, and the chances of a conservative, and when I say conservative, I mean somebody that wants to conserve this American idea, to the chances of them ever being elected in Colorado would be very difficult. I'll just put it that way. Correct, John?
Well, and the money that supported the open primary law, both here in Colorado and in California, that was their goal. To block out these principled Republicans, you end up with a one-party system, what I call the establishment party. People that think, you know, more government control of our lives is the right answer because, you know, they're smarter than the rest of us, these bureaucrats like Fauci and others. Get rid of anybody that's going to stand on the Constitution, separation of powers or federalism principles or freedom, and, you know, block them out from even having the ability to appear in the general election. That was the design of these open primary laws. As another former boss of mine once said, the only thing you find in the middle of the road is roadkill. Well, these primaries are designed to prohibit principled conservatives from winning primary elections and being able to make the case to the voters about how important freedom is and how troubling this expansive, ever-expanding government is.
John, a lot has changed since 2016 when this was voted in here in Colorado. I think people, and you mentioned it, they're not becoming woke. They're becoming awakened to what has happened to our country, to this steady move away from representative government to politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties really controlling government. And I think people are waking up to the dangers of this. And so this seems like a very timely event. And this is not for the 2021 election. This will be for the 2022 election, correct?
That's correct. I mean, obviously, if we get a lawsuit challenge, we'll ask for a preliminary injunction in relatively short order. Hopefully the courts will fast track the case because it's an election related matter, and that will give us an answer well in time for people to take whatever steps they need to take come spring to get on the ballot. But the goal is to have this fixed before we have to have another election conducted under unconstitutional rules and an infringement of our basic freedom of association rights.
And who would be pushing back on this in here in Colorado on trying to close these primaries. I noticed on Ballotpedia when I was looking at this that both the Democrat Party and the Republican Party were against this open primary proposition.
Well, they were, but then when it got passed with all that money, they've kind of fallen in line, particularly because the establishment cabal in both parties realized the benefit for it. And that's why it's so important to push back. Look, if you're going to take principled stance defending the Constitution, defending freedom, defending, you know, the First Amendment's freedom of association, we have to challenge this open primary law. And the biggest objection to it is based on assuming the law and its alternatives are the only option. That if you opt out, you end up with this closed system of a caucus or assembly choosing the nominee. But I believe that's unconstitutional as well. And if we prevail in the litigation, I think the path would be there for the Republicans to have a Republican-only primary. And look, people that say, well, you're not going to be appealing to the unaffiliated. You appeal to the unaffiliated. You lay out your party platform. You say, here's what we stand for. Here's what the other guys stand for. Please join us and engage with us in this important fight to protect our freedoms for ourselves and our kids and our grandkids. Like I said at the very outset, I think this could be the biggest increase in Republican registrations the state has ever seen if it's handled well. And and invite people to join us because of the principles we share. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's what political associations are supposed to be doing.
Wow. John, final thought, anything else? I mean, that pretty well wraps it up. But final thought for our listeners today.
So whatever happens on an opt-out vote, I think it's very important that a majority go on record saying we want a Republicans-only primary. We want to be able to control our own destiny. And in order to do that, we are authorizing the party to bring a constitutional challenge against the blatantly unconstitutional open primary law.
Wow. Okay, September 18th, and that will only take 51% of those in attendance, correct?
That's exactly 50% plus one.
50% plus one. There we go. So, Professor John Eastman, thank you so much, and thank you for clarifying a number of these issues that we have regarding this question. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Kim, and look forward to see you at Grand Lake Constitution Week next week.
Sounds great. Okay, thanks. Bye. And our quote for today is from Abraham Lincoln. He says, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution." So my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry.